This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. If you have a shout-out that you want to throw out there, I want to shout-out real quick, and I know we talked about them a while back when we did one of our fan hangs, but Alba Limos. Alba Limos is helping out a friend of mine and his niece in a very, very unfortunate situation there. Helping make her dream night come true.
That's awesome.
And it's going to happen this weekend. And I'm just, we always tell people because they get concerned about like who took Mike's cards and stuff. We like you to do business with people that we know do business right. And Alba Limos has really, really stepped up above and beyond for this little girl.
Yeah, they're good friends of the station. That's great.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly the story there, Kevin, but I see your face and it's, don't usually make that face.
It is very sad. So I wanted to shout them out for really helping out with this situation. All right. Now, besides closer, because I get it, what is your biggest Rangers concern heading into spring training? I swear to God, if you say closer.
It rhymes with closer.
Good song.
It's actually kind of the same word. I got a list of three, Kevin.
Okay, good. Hold on. Are any of them closer? Because if they are...
You'll have to wait and see.
Oh, my God.
Number one, Wyatt Langford's oblique.
That just happened this morning. He's fine.
And you're not concerned about it?
He's going to be fine.
Thank you, Alex.
Scott Braun from Foul Territory said, relax.
It's great. That's two
actually,
people.
You know what? If you were listening to Scott, it kind of sounded like he was calling the way things happen now a little soft. He goes, back in the day, it would be nothing. You would hear nothing about this. But now people need to take a week off or whatever.
The best, the most important oblique for a right-handed batter.
Oh, my God.
Kevin.
We're done.
Since you say it's not that big of a deal, I will make it number three on my list.
Okay.
Number two on my list. Last year, we weren't a great defensive team.
That's a fact.
On the way to the World Series, we were the best defensive team. Like, go back and watch how many times defense bailed out a bad play or a big moment in the World Series, in the Astros series. Our team defense was so good. And you can ask Jared Sandler this. He's preached this for years. Defense is so important to winning in baseball championships. If you want to be a championship contender, you have to play elite level defense. And last year we weren't great. So I don't know if it was because some of the games weren't as competitive as they wanted them to be and the juice just wasn't there, but they need to be better defensively this year. Otherwise, you're going to kill arms of DeGrom and the Baldies and make them be out there for innings they don't need to be. But my number one concern, Kevin, is if Berger and Jock don't add the juice to the team that we expect. Like, we do,
okay.
We're putting a lot on them to be oh, yeah, they're going to be guys that they get go into this lineup, and now look at this lineup. Well, this lineup did have, obviously, an injured Corey Seager last year.
Yeah.
There were some an injured Josh Jung. This lineup looks like it's murderer's row. It really does.
It does.
But last year, we kind of needed two guys like Jock and Jake Berger to inject a little liveliness into this thing and be able to be power when it wasn't existing. And so I'm hoping and expecting that Adolis and Seager and Young are going to come back and be really good. But we need those two guys, if something goes wrong, to be it. And if they aren't that, that concerns me a little bit. Actually, that concerns me the most.
All right, Alec.
I do like from the 425, though. It's an odd year. Bochy's the manager. No concerns.
Okay, and I do get that. Alec, I want to go to you next in just one second. But I did want to read this one from the 903. Farm system. If DeGrom or Evo go down, who's waiting at the lower level? So I will just, I will tell you this. Bradford, John Gray, Tyler Mahle, Kamar Rocker, Jack Leiter, Dane Dunning. Now, you might not feel comfortable with all of those players, and I get it. And there's a really good shot. You're going to need more than eight starting pitchers this year. A really good shot. You're going to need more than eight starting pitchers. But it does feel like the Rangers have some depth at starting pitcher. I just wonder if the concern is, but you don't have like more top end depth. Like all of a sudden, is your rotation going to be? And I think Rocker could be eventually really amazing. But I think the concern some people might have is, are you going to have a 5-man rotation filled with five number four or five pitchers?
I totally expect, in the way that Scott Braun was talking about it this morning, I expect an Evo hot start, some sort of weird what's going on with him in the middle of the season, and they give him the rest that he needs to make a late season push and a postseason run. That just seems like that's kind of it seems smart almost. Because how many times do you see these guys get to the end of the year and they're dead because they pushed it so hard throughout the regular season? It almost seems smart with older players to kind of give them that opportunity to ramp back up. I do have that same concern, though.
Okay.
That when it gets past that, what do we got? Well, we got Mike Maddox, so I have a lot of faith that you're going to have prepared pitchers. That is something I do feel like you're going to have is prepared guys on the mound.
And I hope this doesn't step on anything you were going to say, Alec, but I understand if people are concerned about Mahle, Gray, and Rocker also having their own injury concerns in the past.
And to go along with Corey's point, just to think about, you know, like that starting pitcher that you think of as he is going to start every fifth day and he is going to eat innings and he is going to give you quality starts, but just totally falling off the face of the earth because he was tired. Think about the Rangers World Series run in 2023 when they matched up with Baltimore. Our old friend Kyle Gibson, by the postseason, he was almost unplayable just because he had no injuries throughout the season that I can recall. He was fine all year. He gets to the postseason. They relegate him to almost like an emergency guy because they couldn't trust him. And he's a guy that, you know, he was an all-star with the Rangers just a couple years before that. And he was considered at the time as a serviceable starter, but it was a guy that they didn't want to touch in the postseason. In the same vein, the thing that I'm concerned about is your bench. Are you going to have that same superhero savior like Josh Smith was last year? Because you're inevitably going to have guys that are going to miss time out in the field outside of your pitching. You know, Corey Seager is going to need some time. Marcus Semien is the one guy that you expect to be your Iron Man. But outside of that, Josh Jung, you don't know what to expect. The platoon situation that you might have at first base, the outfield, Adolis Garcia, like Evan Carter, you're going to have guys that are going to miss time. Are you going to have that guy? He doesn't have to bat 300 or anything crazy, but are you going to have a guy that is going to play serviceable baseball and give you a spark offensively when guys inevitably do miss time?
So, Alec, I feel like that's kind of hinted at or just directly said by the 817 consistency and then the 972-254-903. Health, health, health. And so, like, I get what you're saying is who will the replacement be, but it feels like the primary concern, at least for people texting in, is health. And so, for example, let's take what Alec was just talking about, health in terms of offense. Well, what if you have a problem there? Are you going to have, like he said, that super sub ready to go? I think a lot of people are just thinking about health in the pitching staff as well. So I will concede, while there are a lot of things that I think this Rangers team will make a positive improvement year over year in, the injury concern remains.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I missed most of this week.
What?
Yeah, I was out most of this week. So
where were you?
I'm sick, but I may have missed some things. Is there are we planning on doing what were you pumped about at some point?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. I didn't want to be like, hey, this is just, to be quite honest, like you got a lot of really good things still too, but there that the closer situation is one of the ones that I think everybody is like, I'd like to have that fixed. These other things though are realities of this team. We saw it play out last year. We saw exactly what Alex talking about play out 2 years. I mean, we got to make sure that you have those kind of backup players ready and to go just in case. They've done a pretty good job of it. I mean, you still do have Josh Smith, but is he going to be at the same level? I don't know.
If it makes you feel better, I'll give you a tease or a sneak peek at what our tease is probably going to be for Monday. Josh Jung said he is. So are you ready for the Rangers to kick some ass?
I am.
So there you go.
Okay.
So I promise we will get to the other part of it. I just kind of wanted to pick people's brains in terms of outside of the closer, because I get it. Closer is like, by far, it's like my number one, and then my next concern is six. You know, like that occupies so much of my concern about this
team.
Well,
and you know, we had that feeling last year with, like, is Kirby Yates the guy? We don't know. He hasn't pitched, you know, well at this in, what, 2 years, was it? And we were very concerned, and then he did it. The thing that I think it kind of revolves around number one for me with Berger and Jock is that offense just, we saw it 2 years ago, heading to the playoffs, disappear.
Yeah.
You couldn't score a run when you needed a run in any way. And then somehow for however many games, was it 11 games throughout the playoffs or 14?
11 road games.
Yeah, 11 road. They just said, hey, guess what? We're scoring just enough every time. And whenever we need it, we'll do it. Last year, it seemed like you're fighting these games where the Rangers for the first four innings are zeros.
Yeah.
And then you're like, we need runs, guys, and you're putting so much pressure on your pitchers. That's the part of it that I don't know, because they moved on from hires. How much different is it going to be offensively this year? That needs to hop up.
This is a really fascinating one, because we kind of talked about this earlier in the week. 817, I'm still concerned that the umps are going to keep calling a massive strike zone against Wyatt Langford. Well, remember at spring training, including at our stadium in Surprise, they're going to be testing out.
Did you see it last night?
Yes.
Yes.
So
it looks awesome.
I wonder if, like, I don't think it'll be specifically like Wyatt Langford, but if certain players will get singled out and they'll continue to challenge in spring training, it'll be like, oh, we missed like 8 calls on Wyatt Langford this spring training. And maybe that will lead to some sort of overhaul. I'm not sure about that. I hesitate to bring this up from the 254.
Don't hesitate.
My biggest concern is Kevin's negative opinion on the Rangers' record this season. 162-0. Go Rangers. That's not going to happen. Nothing close to that is going to happen.
That's the negativity that he's talking about right there.
I'm going to go up to every single player and say, you know what? I said you can't go 162-0.
What's the point?
So they know.
Why don't you tell them, hey, if y'all go 162-0.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you can hit me in the junk with a wiffle ball bat.
Man, we tried that once before, and I really thought
we were so close.
Adrian Beltre was going to injure me.
Colby did it, so it all worked out for us. But like, 162-0 realistically is very difficult, almost impossible.
Impossible. Okay, I'll concede.
Just because nobody's done it yet.
I know. I will concede.
But even imagine that long of a season.
Yes.
But yeah, I hope so.
And what I said earlier in the week, that would put the most unreasonable amount of pressure that's ever been on any sports team in the history of the world if you went 162-0 going into the playoffs.
Dude, or can you imagine being 161-0 in your final game and you're sitting there going, do we even need to win this game?
If you made it that far, you might as well just win the last game too. From the 5-6-1, I believe it all boils down to health, particularly the health of players like Jacob deGrom, Evan Carter, but nothing, and I mean nothing, will stop us from go-getting Rangers. Okay, what?
Are we, okay, can we talk face-to-face with him about that this year and say, hey, Boach, do you think, like, can you end every interview with that this year and just see if he says
God, I hope not, because I still remember, I don't know if we have it, but that laugh when he's like, hey, that's funny.
That's funny.
He's
awesome.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no, oh, no.
We're so, like, we're very fortunate. Just think about some of the managers that we have had here.
For sure.
That have been really, like, fun managers to talk to. You know, Ron Washington was an absolute blast. Johnny Oates was just such an amazing class act. Bobby Valentine, haven't met him. Like, as a Rangers fan my entire life, I'm very excited to be able to talk to Boach because he's guiding my team to maybe another World Series championship.
All right. People said that I've been hating, so I have a positive for you.
Kevin,
we're
going to
dive into Kevin analytics just a little bit. According to the FanGraphs depth chart on F4 projections, all right, so I know that was a whole lot of words right there. There are only two teams that are in the top 10 for all the categories, infield catcher and catcher, outfield and DH, starting pitching, and the bullpen. Only two teams in all the top 10, the Dodgers and the Rangers.
Go get Rangers, baby.
Now, the Dodgers are 4-4-1-2, where the Rangers are 8-7-10-10.
Yeah.
I get it, but the point is, still top 10.
Still top 10.
In all of them.
And if you're there in the category at the midway point in the season, go look at those. Go look back and say, oh, hold on, the Rangers are top 4 in pitching and top 4 in runs. Like, these are great categories to be tops in. So if you have more of those top 10s than other teams, you're in a good place.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. This might sound odd, but it's inspired by Seguin, Texas. Coming up next, in honor of the Applebee's IHOP combo, give us a sports opinion, and then what two restaurants do you think should go together? 877-881-1053. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
No, that's funny.
It'll come back to Lorenzi shooting. Rebound Matthews in front. And Sanderson scores. Jake Sanderson.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you want to get involved, hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube, or of course, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, because it's time for the combo platter. This is in honor of a brand new, soon to be probably the most popular restaurant in the world. It's in Seguin. It is an Applebee's and IHOP combo restaurant.
What?
So with that in mind, give us a sports.
Oh, so like they're attached to each other?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, or they're just kind of next to each other?
No. It's all part of the same structure.
So the Applebee's is in the IHOP, or the IHOP is in the Applebee's?
See, yes. I'm inclined to think the Applebee's is inside the IHOP, because the IHOP gets main billing over the walk-in marquee, and Applebee's gets the billing to the left side.
Okay, and the,
so,
and the menu?
I have not.
Does it just say the, you're on a great shared question. Menu or you go, okay.
I've not seen the menu. Clearly, this is a place that I would definitely eat at.
These are your two favorite bland foods.
So, oh man.
It seems fair.
Yeah.
I've known you for a while.
I get what you're saying. All right. But that's never going to win me an endorsement.
The reality, I got you.
So give us a sports opinion, and then which two restaurants do you think should go together? Because we're in a brave new world where we can just combine these mega powers of restaurants and have Apple Hop. That's better than Ibees, right? Because that sounds like, oh, I went there and I got Ibees.
Hop Bees.
Yeah, maybe. We can workshop the name.
That is a weird thing. You have to take the first part of the first word.
Yeah.
You can't take the last part of the first word and make that, right? That's not how it works, I guess.
Plus, I'm pretty sure Apple would sue us if we went with like Apple Hop or something.
Yeah, probably so.
Nope, we already have one of those. We're developing it.
All right. Sports opinion. The U.S. will never lose the championship in the Four Nations again.
Oh my God.
Ever.
Love it.
I do feel like it might be Six Nations though in the future.
Probably
so.
True. Are the Olympics are next year?
Yeah, but again, that's not the Four Nations. So
true.
So I'm actually just spitting facts right now.
But hold on.
Unless they eliminate two teams sometime because of war.
I mean, I guess that's true. And I think the next time they're just going to call it the World Cup of Hockey because they're like, hey, last time this backfired on us. So like, let's not put a specific number in the thing that we might have to change, because it might have been the Six Nations face-off. It was going to be the Six Nations face-off.
Hockey style in America has grown and changed so much.
Yeah.
And like, you can see how evident that was when you were watching last night's game. They're just as competitive as Canada. And like, just in so many different skilled ways. The players are faster, stronger, and more skilled than we've ever seen before. And they're starting at such a young age. Hell, I mean, Kevin, you know out in Plano, kids that were in Lucy's kindergarten class were playing hockey at a competitive level in kindergarten.
Yes.
And now they're all like, they left the middle school because they have to go to an academy so that they can go play hockey all the time.
Right.
So like, we're already there where we've invested. Parents are like, we're playing some hockey, baby. So I think, as we were pointing out, they've won the last two juniors. So I think the future of American hockey is going to be bright, and we'll never lose the championship again.
Man, I like that bold statement.
My combination store, which I'm not a fan of this. I was never a fan of the Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. I was not a fan.
You're not a fan of the concept that I'm pitching out to you.
I don't even like clock pins, okay? I'm not a huge fan of combining things. The Fandelier. You know, where you combine a fan and a chandelier. Not a huge fan of those. However, I would love to see a Hurtado Brahms.
Oh.
Like, I know that Hurtado has their own, desserts and stuff that they can throw at you. But, A, you're getting amazing barbecue. And then on top of that, you can just go select whatever strawberry shortcake you want, or a hot fudge sundae. Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. I love Brahms. I love Brahms Burger. So can you imagine Brahms Burger and Hurtado Burger working together to create the greatest burger? So I'm trying to create that. But that being said, Whataburger is the top level burger. So I'm just going to go with the ice cream version. Hurtado, okay. Brahms, because of the ice cream.
Okay, I like that. Now, I'm a little conflicted here because I like the sports opinion from the 214. The Rangers will win the AL West. And then they tried to get me by encouraging a Vietnamese and a barbecue fusion restaurant together.
What?
But the title of that restaurant would be inappropriate for air. Now, they did a really good job of spelling it out, so it doesn't seem inappropriate, but
there's a Q in it.
Yes, exactly. From the 817, man, Jacob DeGrom will win a Cy Young and give me Red Lobster and Taco Casa. Fascinating.
Hold on. How's that good? Now people are just putting their two favorite restaurants together.
What? What?
This doesn't make any sense.
No.
Red Lobster Taco Casa makes zero sense.
What rhyme or reason is there for Applebee's and IHOP to get, I want a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity plus some buffalo wings?
Actually, it makes complete sense. Applebee's gets rocking after 10 o'clock. All right, so around 10 o'clock is when they hit that 10 o'clock happy hour or whatever, and it turns into a club in that place.
Okay.
So they're all hammered where they need to go afterwards, around the corner to the table, so that they can go get pancakes and recover.
Let me ask you a question. I've seen this phenomenon at the Applebee's many times.
Those teachers are getting...
Especially on a Friday night. So I married a teacher. You said at 10 o'clock it's hopping at the Applebee's, turns to like a club. If you're older, a discotheque, and maybe you're there for happy hour earlier, but what are the hours that you feel bad for the person sitting at the bar? Like if you go eat at 8:30 and you could tell they've been there for a minute, do you feel sad for them? Cause you're like, you're too far away from the club. You're too far away from happy hour. You just are there because this is the only place for you to go.
I don't know the answer to your question.
Okay.
Because I stopped listening because I was reading something. It's my fault. It's definitely on me. I'm just trying to be honest.
I thought having you back would change things.
From the 817, Mansfield Hurtado's already has a dessert place attached. It's Tracy's Irresistible Desserts. Highly recommend.
Oh.
Alec, I did not know this because I have been only to the Arlington, Fort Worth locations and not the Dallas one. Have not been to Mansfield. Now, I guess I just have to go with Hurtado Whataburger. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw Hurtado and Whataburger together and say my two favorite places. I'll just put that together.
Would you call it Whatatado?
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds so weird.
Herdburger. I don't know. That doesn't work.
What?
We're all going to the Whatatado.
Whatatado sounds awesome. Everybody's going to Whatatado tonight.
This is like that scene in Demolition Man where they were like, now all restaurants are Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Now all restaurants will eventually be Whatatados.
It makes sense.
From the 214, it is also Shout Out Friday. Shout out to Darren Woodson for keeping his composure after the NFL keeps screwing him out of the Hall of Fame. I am with you. Now, I don't like this opinion, but that's not how he is, though. That's true. He's a class act. I don't like this opinion, but that's not how we do things on this show. We read it all the same, unless you have a hidden curse word in there. The 214, Astros will win the West, and they said they want to put Dairy Queen and Burger King together. It feels like that can be done, and we've seen versions of that before.
Oh, the Astros win in the West?
No.
It can be done, and we've seen it before.
I think it was the A&W Taco Bell Pizza Hut, and I was like, three? Too many.
It's A&W and Long John Silver that threw me off.
Okay.
Or KFC Long John Silver. But Kevin, you were right earlier this morning when you said everybody was freaked out because they'd never seen a standalone or a stand-up A&W before.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had other stuff. I just thought they were a root beer that I didn't love.
I'm absolutely with you. You know what, Corey? You're going to love this sports opinion. The 817 sports opinion. The left oblique is the most important oblique for a right-handed batter.
Thank you.
And I would love to see Whataburger and In-N-Out combined because it would be an all-out war from the customers inside. That, or a hamburger Royal Rumble, if you will, since we just passed that. By the way, in case you don't know what that sports opinion is in reference to, Bruce Bochy said that Wyatt Langford's going to be out 5 to 7 days.
Oh, no.
Just 5 to 7 days.
We know how that could turn into oblique more...
issue.
That's the concern.
I think he's gonna be fine.
You think?
I think. I don't know. I'm sorry if
you know, we're heading there Sunday. We'll get our chance to look at his oblique, really try and figure out how it's working.
Like, can you just lift your shirt?
Can you lift your shirt? That dude, I'm gonna ask him. Can you lift your shirt and let's look at your oblique? We're getting on a video.
HR violation.
So Carter's like, hey, thanks. We got some video content, guys. And then we'll ask Boach. And if Boach looks me in the eye and he says, Corey, after 7 days, he'll be out there and we're gonna be fine, then I'll believe it. And I'll say, you know what, Boach, thank you. My buddy Kevin's been trying to tell me, and now I should probably trust him more. And he's gonna go, you know what? You're right, Corey.
But then you're going to tell him I'm the go get Rangers guy. And he's, yeah, I know, Boach. Okay. These next two involve Chick-fil-A. One I'm going to read because I would love this idea. The second one is just the objectively best name you could possibly have. From the 940, DeGrom will win the AL Cy Young this year. And then they want to combine Texas Roadhouse and Chick-fil-A. I've not been to Texas Roadhouse in a long time, but I wanted to go yesterday because somebody was talking about that cinnamon butter and it's just the most amazing thing in the world. In the 972, though, the U.S. will win gold in the hockey Olympics next year. It's just the Olympics and they play hockey. I don't know why I said it like that. And they want Chick-fil-A and Hooters, so it would be called Hoot-fil-A. And
it's a lot of chicken in one room,
I think.
Yeah.
But Hoot-fil-A is a very fun, I love. Now, see, it's starting to descend into, we're just trying to come up with the funniest names, where like some of these made sense. Now, again, you're just putting two chicken together. You got, I guess, some more boneless chicken, you know, in at Chick-fil-A, and then you got the bone-in wings at Hooters. I don't think that those two can work together, though, based on like their belief systems.
Because it's like, it's the Jesus restaurant and the Shorty Short restaurant. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
And like, every time the Hooters waitress says, "Your my pleasure," you're going to be like, you know, like, it's going to freak you out just a little bit. Make you uncomfortable.
You can walk out and get some nuggets and pray at the Chick-fil-A. Yeah,
there you go.
By the way, I love Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's so great, yeah. I hope nobody is offended by that. All right, Alec.
Hoot-fil-A.
Do you have... Hey, I didn't invent that phrase. Alec, do you have a sports opinion and then a combination of two restaurants?
Oh, sports opinion. I kind of touched on it yesterday a little bit in regards to the combine, but it leaks into the draft for me. The draft is a lot less exciting when there isn't that group of like three or four quarterbacks at the top. They are like, who is going to give up too much in the future to trade up and get that guy? I just don't feel that sense anymore. For me, it's with Ashton Jeanty. It's like, is somebody going to make the bold move to move up and get him? But even that, still, even though I think he's one of the best three players in this draft, there's still that notion of like, but it's a running back. It's not as fun as a quarterback. You know, even though I want Jeanty on my team, I want him on this team very badly. I'm just not as intrigued. I'm still going to do all the homework on it. I'm still going to read up on everything, watch some of these guys on tape, and try to make my own predictions and whatnot, my own grades. I'm still going to go through the measures and all the processes that I always do. I'm just not like thrilled with this year's draft class just because there's not that marquee guy that we're like, what's going to happen with him?
Do you know, this is how collectors and card shops work as well. Because this last year was a freaking bonanza with all the quarterbacks going in the first round. And then for basketball, I going back to last year, you had Wemby. And so now this year, it has been a very subpar.
This could wind up being the Mariota Winston draft.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
It could. And so it's hard to generate anywhere near as much excitement. All right. What about combination restaurants?
I was thinking, what would be my drunk fantasy in terms of food combinations?
Taco Bell, Jack in the Box?
Really close. It would be Taco Bell and Whataburger. If you could combine those two together and make it one stop for me whenever, you know, I've been hanging out with the boys on a Saturday night bleeding into Sunday morning. It's like 2 a.m. Everything's shut down except for that beauty sitting right there. I can envision it right now where the Whataburger in Mansfield is sitting. Just throw on a Taco Bell right next to it because we don't have one really close to that location. Just combine them. Combine them. And then on my way home, if I want a 7-layer burrito and a number one with cheese, I'm a very happy man. I know it's super simple. It's probably not the most complex idea, but then you can get What a Taco. You can get What a Bell. You can get Taco Burger. I'm okay with any of those, but the food combination itself, that would be amazing.
I think my friend Jesse Holly said that he would go, I think it was Cane's, and he would get the Cane's chicken tenders. Maybe it was Burger King chicken nuggets. And then he would drive over to Chick-fil-A and get the Chick-fil-A sauce and Polynesian sauce. So that would be the combination that he would want, is to add those two things together.
Okay.
That does seem, like you said, Alec, having to make two different stops to get to the thing you want. Because maybe I don't want fries and I'd just like to add two tacos as my fry option.
Couple of discouraging Cowboys opinions here from the 214. Dak will be injured by game 5 and they want to combine Whataburger and Crumble. And then from the 903, Cowboys won't be in the playoffs next year, and then Olive Lobster. There's Olive Garden and Red Lobster where you could get unlimited shrimp, salad, and breadsticks.
Are you going to make us eat at Red Lobster again this year?
Yeah.
Red Lobster.
Ooh, I need to look up where when Lent is.
It's again. Front door, like, looks at the highway. Like the side of the bridge of the highway, because they built it. That thing's been there for 200 years, and they were like, let's build a highway.
Lent doesn't begin till March 5th.
Oh, so we don't have to eat the Red Lobster?
I like Red Lobster legitimately. But if you guys don't want to go there, and I know that you don't,
I just think it's funny.
We do not have to go to Red Lobster. From the 214, excuse me, the 817, Sports Opinion, Stars about to go on a serious run to the Stanley Cup. I would love, love, love that. And I think that there's a really good opportunity that could happen. And let's combine Chick-fil-A and Sonic, bring back the roller skates, keep the My Pleasure, create contests between beef and chicken items, which I feel like is kind of Chick-fil-A's bit already with the cow mascot that's like, eat more chicken and all of that. So I think that could work.
We did get a text just moments ago, and it was a link to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call it X. And at Dallas, Texas TV has posted that Hooters is preparing to file for bankruptcy to restructure their company. So
happens to the best of us.
Jeez. Even Hooters? They should never. Oh, that doesn't mean they're going out of business, though. They're
not necessarily.
Yeah, they're just filing for bankruptcy. Everybody files for bankruptcy at some point, I believe.
That's true. Hey, there was a time when I went to Texas A&M that they wanted to bring a Hooters in, and they wanted them to change either their shorts or their roof to maroon. And they were like, nope. And so they never showed up, which I thought was a business mistake, because I feel like the Hooters would have cleaned up in College Station.
Why is that?
Because
what is it about
college guys and delicious wings?
Mm. What else?
Anything else? Yeah.
No.
Just college guys like wings?
Yeah.
Sure.
That can be.
So you're saying any college campus mostly?
Yeah.
Not specifically A&M, but mostly A&M.
Yeah, absolutely.
A&M. Yeah. Because they don't have many wings down there.
Oh my God.
What you're saying.
Man, maybe I didn't miss you. Most of the day, I thought I did.
Oh, crap.
But now, maybe I don't.
All right.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now. You wish. It's time for some Forgiveness Friday, 877-881-1053. Do you need to ask for forgiveness? Does somebody need to ask you for forgiveness, or are you getting rid of baseball? Now,
pardon?
ESPN, and man, if you like passive-aggressive press releases, this story is for you. So last night, Front Office Sports reported that in a letter to owners, MLB said they would not be continuing their deal with ESPN after 2025. Specifically in the letter, it says, "We do not think it's beneficial for us to accept a smaller deal to remain on a shrinking platform." So it made sure to take a couple of digs at ESPN and ESPN Plus on their way out the door. ESPN has been in the baseball business for like 40 years. It is odd that looks like that's not going to be the case. Although ESPN is like, hey, I know it didn't work out. We're always open to figuring out some sort of plan that would benefit us all and beyond 2025, blah, 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 blah. So I guess it could come back together, but it feels like it's not. And that's a bummer.
That is a bummer. But I guess this whole new world that baseball's in right now is giving, maybe opening their eyes or opening their, it sounds like opening their mouths a little bit based
okay.
on like, hey, I'll take some shots at you because we can do it on our own.
So see, that is an interesting philosophy because some people definitely believe that. There are other people though that believe baseball screwed themselves in the negotiations by giving Apple TV such a good deal. And like,
now everybody thinks they can get that deal.
Kind of diminishing the value of their product, I guess, if you want to say it like that. And so ESPN was like, ooh, I would also like to do that. And they're like,
we know how much money you have. Yeah. And this isn't just like a boutique thing that we're working on.
Yeah.
Y'all been doing this for a long time. That's interesting. But saying the thing that they said, that ESPN platform, it's shrinking?
I think so.
it's, when was the height of its power? 2000, like after 9/11, I feel it became very strong.
I could see that, and it feels like it dominated much of the 90s.
And the Dan Patrick group, that's the group that we'll look back at and be like, that was the group that Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, Stuart Scott, those guys, Kenny Mayne, that was the good one right there. But I don't know, man. This is definitely a new place for teams and leagues to be in when they're taking control of their rights to a lot of these things. But one of the things that ESPN did so well was give us the highlights, give us fans the highlights. Well, now every league is like, we'll just post it on our Twitter.
Yeah.
And so they feel like they have everything.
And so maybe they see a lot more opportunity for growth with the Apple partnership. Does Luka Doncic need to ask for forgiveness for being terrible so far for the Lakers? So, in three games with the Lakers, because he couldn't play last night. So I know people want to dump on Anthony Davis, and I get that, and he's hurt, and he's still going to be out for a while. But don't forget the very real concerns that come along.
Yeah, that and the very real concern that Cooper Flagg's about to be with Wembanyama.
Oh, my God.
Think about it.
I know.
Think about it, dude.
I know.
I'm sorry. Back to you.
It usually works out for the San Antonio Spurs. But let's take a look at the stat line of Luka Doncic since he got with the Los Angeles Lakers. He is averaging a robust 14.7 points per game. Nice. He's averaging 5.3 assists per game to go along with 4 turnovers per game. Since he got there, he has 16 assists and 12 turnovers. Well, you know what? I'm sure the shooting's going better. Let's take a look. He's shooting 35.6% from the field and 20.8% from three, despite the fact that he's still taking 8 three-pointers a game. So look, I think eventually he'll be awesome, and LeBron will probably convince him to take things more seriously with his body and that regimen and everything. But so far, he's been terrible.
I don't think he loves where he is.
I'm sure.
You know, he didn't ask to be traded there. He got was just sitting there and was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So I think that there's part of him that's just emotionally, he's not committed to it yet. Like, he was committed to Dallas. He had a lot of his heart in what they were trying to do. Now, whatever else was going on behind the scenes, that's a different story. So I don't know if he's like fully embraced what LA is yet. And I don't know if he will, because maybe that's just not in his mind of, this is what I want to be. But he's not playing like the Luka we know he can be.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason it is a problem that I don't know if LA has the solution for either. Because, like, didn't you see yesterday they're feeling pressure to re-sign him?
Yes.
And obviously you would feel that kind of pressure. And he never really said that he wanted to be there. We always assumed it because LeBron was there. But I don't know if he does.
Now, Alec, if you can go ahead and give me cut number 4. This person asked for forgiveness a while ago, and I think we need to play this clip first to determine.
Nice lock down low. Bennett scores! Sam Bennett ties it for Canada!
So from the 903, can I get forgiveness? It's my fault Team USA lost last night. I let my girlfriend get up and go shower. As soon as she moves, they scored. Got to keep the routine. And that meant while she was sitting there, the United States was dominating offensively. And then when she left to go shower, we lost.
They hadn't scored. So you say dominating offensively, they still hadn't scored.
That is true. They had been putting out by far their best offensive looks in a concentrated period of time.
Quite honestly, that first Tkachuk score, that looked like an accident. Like, you could even see on his face, he was like, I don't know how I did that. Woohoo!
I feel like that happens all of the time.
But yeah, there are plenty of goals that get scored that you're just like, I don't know, I'm really good at deflecting. All right, yeah, sure. I think we can forgive that person for letting her do that. Now, because she was probably sitting there all night up until that point. But I think it can be forgiven. We got a hell of a hockey match. We got a great tilt last night. So I'm all right about it.
Okay. All right. Well, if you don't think that we need to ask for forgiveness, I'm going to throw in the NCAA. Now, I know people are hot and bothered talking about the seeding system and the college football playoff and all of that. And you can be upset about that, or you can love it, or you can whatever. I want to focus on a different thing that they're going to try to ruin.
All right.
That the NCAA said there is continued momentum towards a 76-team field for the 2026 NCAA tournament. Now, we already have four games that nobody cares about, and people don't even really pretend to care about these games. Now, we're going to have 12 of these games that nobody cares about and nobody really pretends to care about.
That's more, you know? Add two more to that. Let's get 14 of them.
Look, when you see the bracket for most people, it's still just the 64 teams, and then you just circle whatever team won and decide if you want to pick them.
Okay.
I don't think you know this why, is catching
on. You know
on.
What it's what they're doing, though. This is for gambling purposes.
I'm sure. With and the, TV money.
With the way that gambling has now just infiltrated almost everything with our sport. I mean, just look at TV right now and how much ESPN Bet is. And every single one of those shows is some FanDuel or DraftKings or something like that. So it's infiltrated everything. So we're in that world now. You're just giving people more opportunities to bet on games that might matter. Not necessarily trying to bring in the casual fan to enjoy it, but that excitement is definitely going to be something else they add to it. I agree with you. The 64 is perfect. Like it is the perfect event, isn't it? The way it started, whenever we would sit down and watch that first day, it was so much fun, and we roll right through it. It's the perfect event. But because of gambling, they're like, how do we scratch $100,000 out of people?
Okay, let's talk about that.
Or maybe it's millions.
It is, because let's talk about big gambling. Big gambling is up next to need to ask for forgiveness Friday.
All right.
How much money do you think that the American sports betting industry made as profit this past year?
I mean, that couldn't be much. There's a lot of good gamblers out there. It was probably flat.
All of the profit.
Mm-hmm. Which looks like what?
$65 million.
Okay, because there's a big discrepancy between those.
All right, when I saw your face.
Which one did you pick?
Million.
Higher.
$85 million.
Much higher.
$148 million.
Much.
$290.
Much.
$894.
Much higher.
$1 billion.
Much, much, much higher.
Alec, I've done.
$13.71 billion.
We're terrible bettors.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that. Because consider this. $150 billion was bet this year. That was a 22.2% increase over the prior year, which, of course, was the record. And the American gambling industry, I know they don't all have like a big club together or whatever, but somebody took the time to add up all the numbers, and I appreciate that.
Yes, me too.
The American sports betting industry won $13.71 billion this year, which was a 24.18% increase. So think about this for a second, Alec. 2023, most bet year in the history of our country. And we're like, you know what? I'm going to bet 22% more this year. But guess what? I'm going to lose 24% more. So not only did we say, let's bet more, we got worse at betting.
I don't think we're going to get any better either. Because again, you're bringing in more casual, like, again, they're targeting kids now with the apps and everything. So we're not going to get any better at gambling.
Exactly.
Unless we are. Like training the kids to be good at gambling. I wonder if like, you've seen these kids start at Fortnite and they stink. And by the end of it, they're sweaty. And you're like, how do you even know what's going on here? And
hold on. So you want to start some sort of gambling training program?
Kind of do.
There's money to be made there. Think about it. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that could be class.
Hold on just a second.
See, some community college is going to be like, hey, would y'all teach this? Not for your price. We're going to make billions here.
Mm. Hold on. I want you to think about this for just a second. Gambling training program. GTP. Have they already have a version of this with the ChatGPT? And they're like, well, we got to switch up a letter.
AI gambling.
We can't give it to them directly. And so, yes. Is it possible that AI will not take us over, via force, but via debt.
Yeah.
And the AI gambling spots are the ones that are really going to put us down.
Yeah. Wow. They're going to be like, hey, y'all owe China $350 billion. Now yeah. you owe us.
See, everyone's worried about being enslaved by artificial intelligence, but you're going to get enslaved by your debt to the AI.
From the 201, Corey's sports betting child sweatshop. It's not a sweatshop if we're making millions,
no,
right?
No. I know that Nike just gave you a big fat thumbs up on that, but you cannot say it's not a sweatshop if we're making money. That's how a sweatshop works.
I didn't say just money, like billions. The kids that we're training, they're making a lot of money too. Again, sure, they're sweating out the bets.
Yeah.
But
well, the kids don't get a profit share in that though. Maybe your new,
we'll give them some stock,
kinder, gentler sweatshop will make that happen.
Yeah,
but
we'll give them some stock. We'll say, hey, man, go grab some stock off the wall.
You know what, Corey? I got some great stories for you about how American corporations were built. You're going to love some of these stories.
The 201. Just do it, kid.
Yes. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got, I almost said Corey's Corner because of Mike. We got the C block coming up in just a minute. But before we get to any of that, Alec,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10
now
will win a four-pack of tickets because college baseball is back at Globe Life Field. If you're caller number 10, you get a four-pack of tickets to the entire final weekend of games at Globe Life Field. A week from today, Friday the 28th through Sunday, March the 2nd. Caller number 10 right now. Coming up next, C-Block.
Yeah, we'll do it next on The Fan.